Yeah. Guns N' Roses, 40 years old. Wow. And we have Martin Popoff. Is it Popoff?
Yeah, that'll do.
Good heavens, Popoff.
That'll do.
Good heavens, Popoff.
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 Good heavens.
It's Russian.
Oh, okay. Popoff.
That's better than Popoff.
Okay, Popoff.
Popoff is better than Popoff.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your connection to the band?
Well, I've just been a rock writer for many years. I've done like 130 of these books. I've interviewed a few of the guys along the ways and met them at Velvet Revolver and a few press conferences here and there. But just wrote for a heavy metal magazine here, write for Goldmine Now and write a lot of these books. So I'm just a general rock journalist guy.
Okay.
Hey.
And a super fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So of course. That didn't sound convincing, but okay.
I mean, I wouldn't put them in my top 10 favorite bands, actually.
Okay. You wouldn't?
No.
He's being honest.
Well, why'd you write a book about them?
Makes money.
Because I am a big fan, but I am old. So when I pick my top bands, they're usually bands that started in the 70s, basically. It's a pretty boring list.
Okay. Why don't you tell? This is what we're going to do. We're going to open it up for the tribe to ask any questions about the band. But also that you're going to take us through the beginnings to where they are now. All right?
Sure.
Derek.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
nice to meet you, Popoff. All right. There's a rare. It's a green album, and it's called Use Your Illusion 3. And it has Just Another Sunday, Bring It Back Home. Have you heard of any way that they're going to mass release that? It's got Crash Diet. Have you heard of that?
No, I've never heard of it at all. I have no idea about it, and we know there's little dribs and drabs of songs along the way, but not even those songs ring a bell to me.
Okay,
Ruth, what about you?
I'm very familiar with those songs. Those are demos that have been around circulating through tapes for many, many years.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I've not heard of a green Use Your Illusion 3. I don't know. That sounds like it might be a bootleg where they just took those demos and maybe remastered them.
Or was white originally and just got old.
The cover, Ruth, the cover of it is Nuclear Green, just like 1 and 2.
Hi, Derek. You and Ruth can have a conversation later.
Right.
Because I'm on the phone with Martin Popoff.
Right.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Derek.
Bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
So bring us through the trajectory of this band. How did it start? When did it start?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a band that came together, kind of stumbled together, 85, 86, 87. We got Tracy Guns in and out. There's Roadhouse. There's all these different, what are we going to call the band? They do that. They get signed. They put out that EP. They put out the massive album, which is now 18 times platinum, of course. I always considered it a hair metal album when it came out. I just consider them kind of just a really, really good hair metal band. I know that's a contentious thing, but that album comes out.
That is really, what a weird take that you have on this.
Oh, I don't know about that. I coined this hair metal, actually, of a hair band.
They are the band that killed hair bands.
No, not absolutely not. I would disagree with that. I think grunge killed hair metal more than anything. But I think, the name of the band
this
is very
opened
hair metal.
The door
the
for grunge.
Hair metal.
This was the bridge between the people who were, wearing spandex
and teased out hair
hair. It was spandex and hairspray,
which actually
and bubblegum pop music.
Well, okay,
this album shattered that.
Nah, absolutely not. I think it's just a little bit to the right of all of that. The lyrics are there, that the teased out hair is there, the roots in Aerosmith are there.
Wait, so Nothing But a Good Time by Poison as compared to Mr. Brownstone by Guns N' Roses. Along the same lines?
Well, okay, so you're picking the most extreme song on this album and the most extreme song at
all
the
right,
other end.
All right, name one from Poison.
Nah. I feel like...
You know what? You're just someone who wants to sell a book.
No,
like, you're not into this.
This is all part of. No, as I say, when it came out, it was a really, really good quality, long, excellent. Moving away from the hair metal thing a little bit, but I think it still fits in that. They're right there down there on the Sunset Strip. It begets some really cool stuff, and it changes the trajectory. We get Skid Row, we get Badlands, we get Love Hate. Even Poison and Cinderella start making more dirtier, bluesier hair metal albums. The fashion is
gone. This is my whole point.
Sort of thing.
That album changed music.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it just kind of steered it a little bit in a better direction. I think what changed music, I think the next wave of heaviness is your Mudhoney, Nirvana, Melvins, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden thing. So to me, this is this. I'm just telling you, how old was I at that point? 24 when this came out as a new release. To me, I'm just telling you, like when it came out, I thought this is a really, really good quality album still from this scene. So back to the trajectory. Of course, obviously this goes on forever.
Does anybody else have anything they want to ask this guy?
We get the big massive albums that come out at that point, right?
Right.
The big Use Your Illusion albums, which are now like 7 times platinum. They're like an honest 7 times platinum because they aren't actual double albums. They're single CDs.
No, but you know what disappoints me is that you're not a real fan of the band and you never really met them. And you said you're not even, you know, wouldn't even make your top.
Have you ever met them?
Yes, I have met them, and I am a big fan of the band, and they wouldn't make my top bands because, like I say, I mean, most of the bands are bands that I grew up with when I first became a fan of all this stuff, which is more like 73, 74, 75, so, you know, AC/DC and Judas Priest and Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult, but I do love the band, and I am a big fan of the band.
No, but you know, it's funny, we had...
I loved all the hair metal stuff at the time. I don't even use that term as a negative term. I mean, I loved most of those albums at the time. The only band I really wasn't into, well, I guess there would be two. I'd say Poison and Bon Jovi. I hated Bon Jovi. I was never into Bon Jovi in any sense. But yeah, no, I loved all this stuff coming through these years.
Yeah, no, I appreciated all of that music and loved all of that music. And I feel like all of it has its place and its audience.
Right.
But what was happening with rock is, it turned into you had to be a poster. You had to be a
pretty boy.
A band that was going to be a poster in a 14-year-old girl's room.
Visually
this
pleasant,
was not, to me, rock music. You know, they were making Nothing But a Good Time.
Right,
Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Right.
You know, you mentioned Bon Jovi. I agree with you. Them, too. Hair Tease, all this. That album, Appetite for Destruction, changed everything. I was on the radio. I could tell you, it changed everything. It changed every album that came after that. It became the new thing that people were chasing.
Absolutely.
It
went from, and what it became was dirty hair metal.
Bubblegum pop.
Well, okay. No, what I'm saying is hair metal, it changed everything for the better, but what you got was bluesy hair metal and dirty hair metal. You didn't get grunge out of Guns N' Roses.
No, but what did the record labels do when that thing exploded? They were like, find me some hard rock bands.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, there happened to be a half a dozen in one particular city, but this is the album that started all that. And if you're going to write a book about a band, you should at least pay tribute to them.
That paint-by-numbers formula of a hair band went away.
If you're going to have a book with their logo on the cover and you're going to make money off of them, you should honor what they've done for the music. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so what happened after Guns N' Roses? So this album comes out in 87. What it generally does is it causes signings like Love Hate and Badlands. We get Salty Dog. We get Sea Hags, Dangerous Toys. All of that comes directly out of this. We get Cats in Boots. We get L.A. Guns, which is great. And I was all into all that stuff, too. I mean, hair metal literally improved at this point. But Guns N' Roses, I don't think, is something that causes the Seattle scene, per se.
I remember hearing Welcome to the Jungle for the first time on this station, and I knew things were going to change, just as I knew things were going to change when I heard Eddie Van Halen's Eruption. I knew guitar playing at that moment was going to change.
They'd be the same.
And when I heard Welcome to the Jungle, I knew that music was going to change, that this just shattered what people want.
Set a new bar.
We didn't know. a lot of times you don't know what you're hungry for until it arrives. And you're like, oh, that's it.
Yes. This is what I wanted.
And that's kind of what happened when this album came out. Everything, like you said,
the appetite changed.
Those hair bands got dirtier. Grunge
moved
entered.
In. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, the, you know,
it's like a timeline. Like a progression.
I'm not writing a book over here, but at the same time, I was living it and I was loving it. And I don't know. I think you need to give them a little bit more credit than that. Aren't you glad you came here?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I mean, the other thing people forget about that record is how long it is, right? And it's just absolutely chock full of hits as well.
Exactly.
Which was really cool about it. And yeah, it did sweep away the kind of mindset, the thinking, the fashion of the whole hair metal thing. But it is still from the scene, number one. It is absolutely still on that strip, right? It's got songs called Rocket Queen on it and stuff like that, right? I mean, it's generally about that scene as well. But yes, I do love the
making
fact that they
fun
are
of
so
them.
Much more authentic, right? I mean, they are absolutely living it, breathing it. They're all musicologists in that band. They all love the whole history of rock and roll, and that like breeze through certainly Slash's guitar playing. I just love his guitar work and the sounds they get and how they fell in with Mike Clink and got this really good. That, again, also, I mean, to your point, I mean, the production is a timeless 70s sort of production. It doesn't have that big wet snare drum and the way too many backing vocals and all that. So again, yeah, there are a few other directions that changed because of this as well. Everything just got more real, and that was a very cool thing about what happened.
Yes,
here.
Agreed. That we went from fake bad boys with hairspray to real bad boys.
From posers to
real artists.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't like, oh, let's do, you know, let's, we, it's got to be hooky, and then we want the lead to be right here, like, near, 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 near. No, this was a Slash lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This brought guitar playing back. It brought artistry back. It brought songwriting back. It brought bad boys back.
Real issues.
It was like, that's real. What I'm seeing here is real. These guys are real crazy nuts.
Possibly addicts.
Rock stars.
Yeah. It went from,
it was
I want a record deal, to like, this is what we do, like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was underscored by getting two albums that were even more adventurous and even more real in the two Use Your Illusion albums, which are both 75, 76 minutes long, whatever it is. So that's almost like three records in the CD age all at once. So they're breaking every rule in the book as they move along. And even up to this day, like the whole weird disorganization of the catalog is hilarious too. So as they go along, they just seem to like upset all the norms sort of thing. They'll only Axl will only put out records when he finally is ready. I mean, that guy, what I've felt over the years is that guy is I'd say he's the biggest artist in the band. He's the biggest perfectionist. He doesn't care if it ain't perfect, it ain't coming out. So that's why Chinese Democracy took so long sort of thing. He loves collaborating with people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool things that they've done over the years that make them still, I mean, to this point, people are still talking about them, and that album is one of the biggest records of all time. I mean, 18 times platinum. I think they say it's 36 million copies worldwide. It's just a massive, massive record. But to go back to my point, I do this all the time with thinking, okay, what
you
happens?
And I are going to fight.
It's
about to pop off.
I like you, but this is
one
on.
Guns and Roses.
This is on.
Here we go.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just remember, you know, I remember in 1987, I was into all kinds of metal, mainly a lot of thrash. But I'm just saying, when this record came out, it was like, this is one of the best hair metal albums I've ever heard, but it's not a hair metal album.
It's not a hair metal album. It's the furthest thing from a hair metal album. Like, I don't know how someone would let you write a book.
Furthest thing? I mean, now you're going too far. Furthest thing from a hair metal album?
All right. Let me amend that. I don't know how anyone would let you write a book about this band.
Hey, I mean, you want somebody who's not just going to write hagiography kind of thing about a band. I have my opinions,
but
right?
You're
and,
so
and I put
wrong.
My opinions into these books. Absolutely not. I don't know, man. I mean, okay, can you think of a more hair metal name of a band than Guns N' Roses? Because Poison sure ain't it. Poison does not sound like a hair metal band name. Guns N' Roses does. What do you think?
Guns! Guns! Roses. Okay, right. What do you typically do with a gun? Okay?
You shoot roses.
Right. And you know, that's a combination name of two bands that were in L.A. that they came together. Yep. So let's be stupid. Now, let's talk about this. They come out with Appetite for Destruction, one of these killer debut albums, right? One of the biggest debut albums in the history of rock music.
Yep.
Typically, bands fail right after that. The second album is like, more of the same, because the record label says, hey, just keep doing that, man. Thumbs up.
Right, do what you're doing.
They come out with GNR Lies, which is acoustic.
Yeah.
And then Live.
Yep.
Totally broke the mold.
Yep. Again,
No, absolutely. No sophomore slouch.
No.
No sophomore slouch.
No, real deal.
Real deal. I don't know. I'm tired from fighting you.
I mean, that's not a sophomore album, number one, really. I mean, that was an annoying thing when it came out, because I hate EPs, right? And I'm like, is this an EP? Is this a full-length album? Plus, it's already the previous EP, which is Faux Live, plus the acoustic stuff. So the sophomore slump that we could talk about is, did they slump during the Use Your Illusions? And I don't think they slumped at all. I love those records. Those were absolutely, they were even more wide.
So you're
angled,
not even counting GNR Lies as a second album?
No, of course not. No. Because half is acoustic and half of it is Faux Live, and it's got covers. So it's got many, many marks against it. It's not really a
It was
full
genius,
album,
by the way.
Genius.
It was genius.
Well, I mean, they had to put something
How
out.
How did
I mean,
anyone say, this is the guy for the GNR album? Book. How did anyone say that? Who said that?
He did.
I'm kidding, Martin. You're a good guy.
I know.
I like it. I'm just having fun with you.
Yeah.
But it is a grab bag release.
Your opinion sucks, but the book is good.
It's a gorgeous book.
It's a gorgeous book.
It really is.
The pictures, by the way, I'm a picture guy, and I'm going through these pictures.
Yeah, I can't read.
A lot of them I've never seen before. Yeah. So it's really a great collection. So good job on the pictures.
Yeah, that's cool to hear.
Did you take any of them?
No,
of course not.
Actually, I believe. Hang on, I think at the end I might have snuck one or two in. But
all right,
no.
Good. Okay.
The cool thing here is that these guys, you know, when they go look for pictures, they do try to think of that and, you know, like try to, you know, serve the deep fan and come up with stuff that people haven't seen. And the layouts are nice and everything too. So I've heard that a few times about the pictures.
No, you're doing a good job with it. So.
All right,
Martin. I thought was this the most fun you've had?
Very spirited.
I think so. I like arguing. I'm very argumentative. We have
Me
a YouTube
too.
Channel too, and I love reading the comments. And I usually answer only the negative ones. So
see, there you go.
Right.
Exactly.
Brief.
All right, Martin Popoff, author, music journalist. The new book releasing today.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses at 40, and Ruth has already claimed our promo copy.
Yep.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. We just had Martin Popoff on, the author of Guns N' Roses at 40. He and I went back and forth about this band killing hair metal, and I was making that argument, and he was like, no, they were hair metal. And I just wanted to bring him back to, one, apologize if I seemed a little feisty.
No, man, it was great. Hey, we can go another 2 hours on this right now if you want.
And then, two, I wanted to call back to let you know, on the back of your book.
Funny you mention that.
It says, the band that drove a stake through the heart of hair metal. It's on your book!
Well, yes. I mean, I was, when I got off the phone,
goodbye.
I was thinking of your
book. It's time for Dumbass News.
Thank you, Martin.
Bye, man.
It's time for Chaz and AJ. Dumbass News.
Dumbass. Dumbass forgets what he wrote on the back of his book.
The kids. The kids see him.
He is a lot of fun to argue
he's
with.
Cool. Yeah, he's cool.
Because he's...
He stayed.
He sounds nice as he's arguing.
Right.
Oof. I have no energy now.
Yeah, well, you kind of spent it all.
You need a nap.
Yeah.
It's hot out, you know.
Let's see. GNR fan blows a GNR radio contest. That's our headline in Dumbass News.
Oh, do tell.
Let's go to producer Ruth. Before she worked for the show, she was a tribe member and called in to win a prize. Ruth in Hamden.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You sound like a nice person. I don't want to hang up on you.
I'm so nervous right now. Okay.
All right, don't be nervous. Take a breath.
Right. You're with friends here.
Are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
You don't even know. Yes.
So we asked. We don't know.
Yeah, we know.
We should be able to get this now.
Right.
And
I hope so. Okay. Oh, my God.
All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Got a rattlesnake suitcase under my arm. I said I'm a mean machine. Been drinking.
It's so easy.
What is it?
It's so easy.
You're wrong.
Oh, no.
It's Night Train.
Oh, God. It's Night Train. Oh, my God.
So bad. That really actually hurt.
God. It wasn't that easy.
That hurt.
It's so easy because I, oh my God.
When you said it's so
that.
Easy,
you know
I thought
that.
You meant it's so easy.
It's just so easy.
Well, then just give it to me.
Oh my God. No, no. Give me another one. Give me something off. Give me something off. Spaghetti Incident. I swear I know.
Oh my God.
You're going to remember that one for the rest of your life.
That sucks.
Oh my God. I can't believe I did that.
I can't believe you did either.
I changed my name, move.
I mean, yeah.
Or go work for the store.
I believe that is the perfect call.
Right. Or work with the dumbass.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.